following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Father, it's our heart, it's our desire, and really I hope, Lord, the focus of our life. And if not, Father, refocus us on this to let the world know that there is hope and there is forgiveness and there's everlasting life, that no one has to wonder at the edge of a grave what happens next. Life, you've offered us life. And so, Father, I pray that our lives will be focused on taking that message everywhere. In a culture of love and grace and gentleness, Lord, and yet boldness. Father, thank you for our friends and visitors that are among us tonight that are serving you and preparing to serve you in many other places around the world. Thank you, Father. Thanks for letting us be involved in what they're doing. And we pray tonight, Lord, would be one of those times that helps us to focus on your call and your agenda in this world at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening. His agenda at this time, he's never had any other agenda, right? His agenda is to reach this world. And look around the room. He uses you to do it. Does that frighten anybody? Maybe it doesn't frighten you about you, but does it frighten you about anybody else that's sitting near you that he's... We will do this focus on missions, for a long time. As long as we're here, we'll do this. No question. Because we're not done, right? We looked at this last week. The task is not completed. There are still people who need to hear. There are still regions who have not heard clearly and plainly the gospel, simplicity of the gospel. So we'll continue to do this. Another reason we'll continue to do this is because we continue to lose warriors. Many of them, we know exactly where they are. They're home with Jesus. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, whenever I was up to see Jeremy, my son, he told me that one of the men who has impacted my life as much, if not more, than anybody, went to be with Jesus this last Saturday. His name was Jerry Cook. How many of you have ever heard of Jerry Cook? He was a Foursquare pastor up in Gresham, Oregon. How many of you have heard of Gresham, Oregon? Yeah, it was a place called East Hill Church in Gresham, one of the outskirts of Portland. And I think the best days for that church were the days that Jerry was there. And wow, if you can find his book, I think it's only used bookstores where you can find it now. It's called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. If for some reason, if you look for it online, you got to put a comma after the love, but Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness, Jerry Cook. And it was Jerry that I heard many, many, many years ago. I'd have to say several decades at least ago, maybe four decades by now. As Bethany was a baby, and I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but we were at a conference, and Jerry was telling this story. I've relayed this a few times as well, where it's make-believe, okay? It's not out of the Bible, but it really illustrates the point that after Jesus died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, there's this wonderful reunion when he steps across the threshold into the presence of Father and Holy Spirit and all those angels. And one of the angels is bold enough to ask, okay, so you know this is make-believe, right? But one of the angels is bold enough to say, Jesus, what an amazing thing you did. That was just more than we had even expected. What love. What an amazing work of redemption. And then one of them says, what have you done to make sure that the world hears about this? And he said, well, I've told my friends to tell everyone they know. And there's this moment, as Jerry said, of telling silence. The angels looked at one another, and then one of them says, oh, Lord, we've been watching those guys. Surely you must have some other plan than using them. And Jesus said, I've made no other plans. We are his plan. The church is his plan to reach the world. And so as we lose voices, we need to send out, raise up more voices. Last week, we talked about this. I'm just going to show it to you very quickly. I didn't realize we would be having rapid fire again this week. Guess what? We're going to do it again next week. I just heard today that Pastor Andrew Russell is going to be back in town on the 20th, and he'll come in here with jet lag on the 22nd with a couple of other brothers. There's a Robert Gonzalez, who is from Greece. He and his wife, I think her name is Susie, if I'm not mistaken. They're going to be with us, I think, next week as well, and then another brother. So we're going to continue to do this in Missions Month here in January. So you're going to get a lot of the word from a lot of different people. But so this is part two. And last week we talked about this. There's one task that we have. Go everywhere, tell everyone that their sins can be forgiven. Those who respond, you make disciples out of those nations, from all the nations. And as Jesus put it in just a nutshell, he said, as the Father sent me, I send you. That would be with the same agenda and with the same power. So in Acts chapter 1, he told them as he met them there, Don't you even think about going out to do this until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're about the same agenda. We have the same business. That's what the church is all about. Anybody that agrees with that, say something that lets me know you agree with that. It could be amen. It could be uh-huh. Could be right on. But one more time. You agree with that? Amen. That's our agenda. That's our mission. It hasn't changed. Any church that has other than that for their mission, they're not a New Testament church. By the way, how many of you listen to the radio program, Refuge Radio. Did you hear me telling a story this, I think it was early this week, about a church called Emmanuel Baptist over in Long Beach that used to be called Emmanuel Baptist. Now it's called Emmanuel Conscious Living Center. Anybody hear me tell that story? It's anything but a gospel preaching church now. A sister heard me say that over K-Wave, and she said, "You're mistaken." She said, "I attend Emmanuel Baptist Church in San Bernardino." And she said, "My pastor is a great gospel preaching pastor. You should check your facts before you share them." And so I got back to her and said, "Man, am I thankful that that's a good Emmanuel Baptist, but the one in Long Beach is no longer a Baptist church." And so as they stop preaching that, really, you're no longer a New Testament church. That's what our mission is. Now, we talked about this last week as well. Just one task, and here's where we all have to fall into one of these categories. Some will go. I'm going to change the go to so next time we talk about this, because it's not just about going. It's not just about getting people to leave here and go there. You go there to sow the seed of the gospel. Some must sow. Some back here must support. Some must serve in other different ways. The support, by the way, is financial support. Because you still have to buy beans out there. And if you can't get a job and can't support yourself, which is the case of many missionaries on the foreign field, have to have someone here that's depriving themselves of a can of beans here so they can buy a can of beans there and so forth. And some serve, like here we have the mission support teams that do all kinds of things. But everybody must pray. And we're going to do that again tonight for those that are going and those that are here on furlough. Now, to begin tonight, we're going to be going through six different missionaries, six different places around the world. A couple of them rather quickly. Julia Baker is here. We're going to have her come up in just a minute and pray for her as she heads out to Cameroon on this Sunday, right, Julia? Okay, we're going to have you come up in just a minute. But I want you to see this. Some of you know Scott and Danielle Key. How many of you here know Scott and Danielle Key? I thought there would be some of you here that know them. Scott and Danielle have been out in Scotland for, I think at least a dozen years or so. They've been married, I think, 12 or 13 years. And we're going to show you a video of theirs in just a second. But they're in central Scotland. I should not have put that in blue. I didn't know that I did that. But their email address, they need to hear from you, especially those of you that know them. Some of their support has sort of, been cut back and dwindled a little bit. And so if you know them and you love them, I'm going to suggest that you that have been praying for them for a while, maybe you might want to support them on their financial support team. And if you are one of those that would like to do that, I have a stack of details up here for you to grab. I'll put one on each side of the stage. Come and grab one of these. It has all of that information on it. And so you know how to email them, you know, their website. Financial support is different from mailing address, and then that's what they're doing. They're planting a church, doing all kinds of stuff. They're a very, very busy couple and a wonderful couple, and I want you to see their video. If we can roll that right now, that would be great. What you mean? There we go.
Awesome.
It's the wee hours of the morning over there, I think, but let's pray for them right now. I emailed Scott and told him we'd be doing this tonight, so he might be up early, but let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Scott and Danielle and for their boys, Jedediah and Miles. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage them at this point and that you would raise up the rest of the support team, the encouragement team, the service team, everything that they need, Father, every penny they need to make a difference there, everything they need to cover their bills and to cover the ministry expenses. Father, I pray that you would just surprise them with your faithfulness. And we commit them to you in the name of Jesus for a great work in Shotts, Scotland. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next door to Scotland is Ireland and Brittany Davis. I was sitting over at the coffee shop. Yeah, come on up. I was sitting over at the one of the local coffee shops here a couple of days ago. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
That happened fast, didn't it? And I heard her and her friend talking about Jesus and talking about Calvary and ministry and missions. And I thought, well, I recognized you, Brittany. I thought, where did I know you from? And it was embarrassing. She said, well, Refuge. I've been at Refuge in the sunny night there, and we'd met maybe some other place. But I asked her if she would come and tell you what she is up to. So this is your mic right here. Tell everybody where you're going.
I am going to Waterford, Ireland. It's in the south.
It's the real Ireland, right?
Yes, the real Ireland.
They're in Northern Ireland, yeah. Did you meet, do you know these guys?
Yeah.
Rick and Cindy? Okay.
Yeah, I saw them at the mission conference.
There you go. They're both real Irelands, but they're real different, right? And so tell everybody what you're going to be doing there. When are you leaving? What do you plan to do there?
It's a great question. I'm a newbie, and the Lord has been putting Ireland in my heart for quite some time now, just about a few years. And one after another, the Lord was just like, you're not going into nursing, you're going somewhere. And then it, bam, Ireland. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, Lord. And sure enough, it was the craziest thing ever. I started talking to a pastor in Ireland through Brian Broderson at Carrot Chapel Costa Mesa. And he encouraged me, like, email him, talk to him. I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. I don't know this guy. And he's going to think I'm some crazy girl trying to, like, hey, I love Ireland, let's go, you know, whatever. But sure enough, he started communicating with me, and then I went on a missions trip out to England, and then I actually got a chance to go to Ireland for a couple of days, and then I talked to him, and he was like, go back home, fill out a resume, send it to me, and then I'll pray over it, and then I'll send it to all the pastors in Ireland. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went back home, and then I was like, Lord, I really stink at resumes. I don't know what I'm doing. But the Lord knows that. And he actually had the pastor email me, and he was like, hey, so I have a job opportunity for you, and I would love for you to come serve out here. It's a year commitment with a six-month assessment, and we would love to have you work at the coffee shop that they just opened up at their church, or it's through their church in the community.
What city are they in?
Waterford.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the coffee shop is in Waterford, and I don't like coffee. I know that's weird.
That's safe for the coffee shop. But you don't like
I was like, oh man, Lord, you really put a smile on my face. You're so funny. I'm like, all right, I'm down either way, but I don't like coffee. And I told him that. I was like, is that okay with you? And he's like, don't worry, you'll love to learn. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. If you're good with that, I'm good with that. So we were talking. I actually ran into him. When he offered me the job, I hadn't seen him. I only talked to him for like 2 days. I saw him 2 days in face-to-face. Then he emailed me, gave me the job, and then after he was like, and then I randomly ran into him at the missions conference. So I've only talked to him in person 3 times. I was like, okay, Lord, I need some reassurance here, because this is a big step just to drop everything, not have a career like you normally would. And you know, you always hear like, oh, why aren't you going into nursing? Like, why aren't you doing this? Because I work at a hospital. And they're like, you should be doing this. Don't waste your time. Don't go off somewhere. And actually, one of the nurses was like, don't do that. You're going to find a husband out there, and then you're going to get settled, and then you're going to stay there, and you're not going to have a career. I'm just looking at her. I'm like, man, people need Jesus. Like, you can't tell me to do that. Like, if the Lord wants to send me who knows where, I'm going, because there needs to be a revival.
You be stubborn about that, Brittany. That's a good thing to be stubborn about. You obey Jesus and you step to where he wants you to go. When do you think you're going to be going? I know there's a bit of a question mark on that.
There is a question mark. I'm praying in the next couple months, so it's just whenever the Lord provides and guides every step of the way. But like I said, I'm really hoping it's in the next couple months, because things are just starting to line up like it already has been for however long.
All right. And we're going to let you join us in the whole group when we pray for you. But can you give people that are interested some way to contact you? How do you want them to get behind you? You got a newsletter that you're going to be putting out, or even just an email newsletter that you might send out?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm new at this, fairly new. I'm going to be starting a newsletter, like blog kind of sort of thing. I have a Facebook. And you can also email me. If you want, you can find me after, and I can give it to you. I could say it right now if you want.
Actually, tell you what, let's do it this way. If you want to get on her mailing list to be praying for her and to just be up on what she's doing, rather than her casting her email address out over Southern California right now, why don't you bring your email to her and she'll put you on her emailing list. Is that?
Thank
aren't you,
you
glad
yes.
we caught that?
yeah.
That was good. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen with that. Great. Julia, come on up. Come on up. Julia has been here among us for a while now at Refuge, and not just here among us, but serving too. And tell everybody where, first of all, where Cameroon is.
Cameroon is in, sometimes we say it's the armpit of Africa, because, you know, the top part of Africa sticks out like this, and then it curves and then goes down, and right here is where Cameroon is.
All right.
Right on the coast there. But it's not like the armpit at all. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful country.
So it's West Africa.
Well, we call it Central Africa.
Central
or
Africa.
Or Sub-Saharan Africa.
That sounds better than armpit.
Yeah.
It does, just a little bit. Now, have you been there before?
Yeah, I've been there for 18 years.
So tell us what you did there.
Okay, I am a support worker with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and my specific job is to teach missionary kids, high school missionary kids. There wasn't a school over there that was appropriate for expatriates to attend, and so Wycliffe finally decided to start one because their missionaries were going to start leaving the field because there wasn't any way for their children to get a high school education. And so they started one about maybe 20 years ago now, 25 years ago. And so God took me over there for 1 year in 1995, but I'm still there now.
Took you there 1 year in 1985, and you stayed for 18.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow. Yeah. It's, so you're leaving on
Sunday? Sunday, 8 a.m.
How long will you be gone?
Probably, I'm not exactly sure. It's usually four-year terms, but I'm single, so I don't normally come back for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in 2 or 3 years, I'll be back for a few weeks in the summer.
How long have you been back this time? Has it been 1 year?
It's been a year and a half
this time. I thought
it
was longer, yeah.
That's been the biggest adventure, really, that I've had. I came back needing about $1,700 per month of committed support. And, you know, I thought, okay, a year, you know, that's kind of standard. Well, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know how God says his plans are different than ours?
Yeah, and better.
Yeah,
and
it was
better.
That. Yeah, it was better.
Yeah.
That good, I was thinking, you know, we needed better translation, because our what we think of good is not the good that God is. You know, he's so much higher. But I've just met so many incredible people during this time here, and I've never really felt even that 18 years so supported in prayer and encouragement, and now, of course, financially, or I wouldn't be leaving.
You know, and one thing that I really appreciate about you, Julia, is that as I've watched you here, you know, within the body of Refuge, you have been everywhere. I'd look around and you're serving behind that table and in the cafe, and just, you're one of those people like Scott was talking about. And I hope you caught what he said there when Scott said, I really can't encourage someone to be a missionary. Doesn't it sound crazy for a missionary to say, don't come and do what I'm doing? But if you followed him, what he said was, if you feel called, start doing it right here, right now. Because the people here matter as much to Jesus as the people there. And I've always said that if you don't do it here, you won't do it there.
Right, right.
So thank you for doing it here, and thank you for serving here among us. And if anybody wants to support her, we've got a card out on the on the missions table.
Perfect.
You can grab that and get on her support team specifically. You can drop offerings into the offering boxes here, and we'll make sure that if it's earmarked so we can actually see where it goes, then it will go directly towards
you
her.
You can
work.
Always just write and get on my update list too, and I'd be happy to share.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. We're going to be behind you. Bless you.
Thank you.
And we'll be praying for you in the group here before we go tonight. I got a copy of Christianity Today from, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but I got it on Tuesday of last week when I was out at the missions conference, or that day I got it anyway. And the cover story of it said, the world the missionaries made. And I really thought, oh, this is going to be a put down on the missionaries. This is going to be one of those, you know, they went and they messed up cultures all over the world. And they didn't honor cultures and people and forced them into a, you know, into a Christianity they weren't ready for. But it was anything but that. And I encourage you to get it. You might even be able to get it over at Barnes & Noble. But it was a fascinating story that talked about the nations of the world, especially back in the 1700s, the 1800s, where Christian Protestant missionaries went into places, different countries in Africa, different countries in South America, different places around the world, even in Asia, where they went in with the gospel, and they used this term conversionary Christianity. What do you think that means? What's the focus of conversionary Christianity? To convert people, to bring people to Christ. And those nations that had embraced and welcomed the Protestant missionaries, they have a better life, a better government. It's not that all their problems are over, but the places where there happens to be the most stable governments are those where Christianity came in, not with Christians that were saying, we're here to change your government, but we're here to bring you hope. We're here to bring you Christ. And the serendipity of that was what began to spill over in large measure was a better way of life as the gospel was embraced. So the people you're going to be hearing from tonight and the people you're going to be praying for, these ladies as they go out, you know, what you're praying for is a better life and a better world as Jesus touches someone and they pass it on to the next soul. So maybe that's you. Maybe God's going to stir something up in you tonight, and he may take you out somewhere as well. Next up is Robin Miller. Come on up, Robin. And Robin is serving Jesus in Israel. And she's going to take some time and tell you what she's up to. And I think we got a video that's going to roll for you too. So welcome, Robin Miller. Would you please?
Hi. Thank you. Yes, as Bill said, my name is Robin Miller, and I'm currently serving in Tel Aviv, Israel. I'm working with Patricia and Stephen Apple, and it's actually Shepherd's Light Calvary Chapel, Tel Aviv. But first of all, I'd like to share that video. It's about 3.5 minutes, if you want to go ahead and run that. Thanks. So it's been a huge blessing for me to serve in Tel Aviv for 6 years now, and it's just amazing what God does through someone who's just willing to go out on their own. And at times it's terrifying, at times it's really, really exciting, and at times it's very, very frustrating. But God does the greatest work of all, not necessarily in the people that we touch, also them, but especially in my own heart, in my own life. And really has grown me a lot over the 6 years. It's just been amazing. So currently, we're doing ministries out of a church apartment. It's actually a block away from our church building, which we used to have. It was closed due to constant sewage that we had problems with. So the Lord allowed us to close it, and now we minister out of that apartment. We do all of our Bible studies, our women's studies. We feed the poor and the homeless and the elderly. And we collect supplies for the possibility of war. We have gas masks, food and raiment, and then also medical supplies as well. And we feed actually about 40 to 60 people each week. And we prepare it. We actually cook it inside the apartment. It's a very tiny, tiny kitchen. It's about probably a space for two people only. So we kind of like come in, okay, now it's your turn, and then I go in and somebody washes and someone's cooking at the same time, and it's just what they call balagan. It's craziness, but it's a lot of fun. It's really neat. And then we prepare the food, we put it in packages, and we take it out to the park, and then we serve the homeless in the park. And half of them don't even recognize that we're giving them food. A lot of them are so inundated with drugs and alcohol, and they're just a mess. But we just go, and we love them, and we share Yeshua HaMashiach with them. And they know that we come in Jesus' name, and it's just amazing what God is doing. in Tel Aviv. We also have a Haifa facility. We do Bible studies up once a week in on Mondays. And we're pretty busy for the most part of the week. And then on our Saturdays, our Shabbat services, we actually go into Metropolitan Hotel. It's literally, again, a block and a half away from our church building and where the old church used to be too. So God is just amazing how he's kept us all within just a block radius. We never even had to leave the area that we were in originally. So he's very, very gracious with us. And you know, it's really neat being there 6 years. You walk down the street and you know all the shop owners, you know the wet market or what they call the shuk. You know all of those people too that own it and own their little shops and stuff and just building those relations, you know. One thing that you can really pray for our team, as Calvary Chapel, we're not really recognized as a organization since we're Christian. We have to leave the country every 3 months. So we have visa issues, problems, but it's not problems. It's actually an opportunity for us to go and be stretched, have our faith stretched, and go into other countries where we can preach the gospel there too. So it's amazing. It's like, I thought I was a missionary to Israel. Well, he's sending me to, I went to missions conference this last week. I counted 11 different countries in 6 years. And that blows my mind because only God can do that with little or none finances. I mean, God is our provider. He provides everything. So we have nothing to fear. So it's just been an amazing, amazing time serving there. And beginning this last year, 2013, we're really excited. Shepherd's Light Calvary Chapel has opened a training center in Oceanside for those that are desiring an opportunity to volunteer in Israel. They will teach you the culture, how to minister to the Jewish people, how to love them by the grace of God. You know, there are a lot of stubborn hearts there. They're very, very frustrated. They're difficult to minister to, but I really believe that's why he sent me there, because I'm just as bad. I'm really bad, and God knows that, so he used me to go. So I'm grateful, and I'm so just humbled by that. So we see a lot of wonderful, wonderful things happen in Israel. In regards to the hardness of heart, the ministry-wise, we've seen about maybe 6 people in 6 years come to know the Lord. It's hard. It is tough. We've got 2 gentlemen that are non-believers. We love them so dearly. One of them's been around for 10 years. He hears the word every week, twice a week. He helps with our ministries sometimes, but yeah, and you know, we know that there's a time that God is going to bring him in, so we don't want to turn anybody away. We want to just share the gospel. They are the chosen people, you know, and we are blessed. We are grafted in. So we know that God is faithful. So I just wanted to encourage you with a couple of scripture real quick that, you know, Israel can be a wonderful place to do ministry. It's awesome, and a lot of people come in on tours and stuff, but to live there is a completely different thing. It's difficult and frustrating. Sometimes I feel very alone, but I know that God is always with me. And I have a great prayer support team back home that I always go to, my accountability partners, if I need any help, encouragement. But in Tel Aviv, there's a lot of sexual sins, alcoholism, drug use, problems emotionally, spiritually, and financially, and that there is uncertainty all around. Well, there's also uncertainty all around us. I've noticed more oppression this time when I came back in December. But again, God is faithful. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He's the one that does the work. He does the work in our lives so that we can portray Christ, that we can give people the light of the Lord. And so we don't have to worry. You know, God is our provider. So Philippians 4:6-9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw from me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Great, great. Perfect, perfect. Did you see yourself in any of those little scenes? Here's what I caught. If you're into food, making it or eating, I guess, serving it, food, working with kids, music, hospital visits, admin, handyman, handywomen, teaching, preaching, evangelism, love and lost people. There's a place for you on the mission field somewhere. And if God directs you that way, don't be afraid. As Robin said, follow him and go for it. He's faithful. Amen? Yeah, that was weak. Amen? True? True. Good. Good. Hey, a brother I just met tonight in the back room. I called Brent over at Calvary Chapel Golden West, and I said, we've got a little slot open tonight. Do you know of any other missionaries that might be in town? And he said, Sabet Kuj. So Sabet is from South Sudan, and he's going to come up and share his heart with you, and it's just a delight to have you with us here, brother. Welcome to Refuge. Just welcome to Sabet. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Let me get that out of your way.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's absolutely a delight and honor for me and my family to be with you. I'm here with my lovely wife, Susie, and my three lovely children. If she can stand so that everybody can. Going to embarrass her.
Yes, welcome.
Hannah is 12, and then Jet is 9, and then Agum, which we adopted, is 10. And that took a long time, 6 years before we came. So we're here for a furlough for 6 months, dealing with visas and everything that really delay us. Well, as you heard, my name is Sabet, and I come from South Sudan. And I have a little bit of a video, African a little bit. I hope it's not that long. And we'll see it, and then I'll share a little bit about our ministry. I will start with that verse. God put this verse in our heart, and that's where the name of our mission comes from. And it's from 1 John 3 and verse 18. It says, let's not love by word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. If you are hearing news these days, you probably heard about South Sudan slipping back again to civil war. South Sudan has been a place that's been really suffering from violence and from war. And also it's a dark place, literally no light, but also no light of Jesus Christ that goes into people's heart. We have, as you heard in the video, we have a big problem with witchcraft, superstition. We have big problem with tradition. And where we are in the south, there's no hardly any Muslims. During the war, that's what's the fight about between north and south. But the biggest obstacle to the gospel is the tradition and the like belief in ancestor spirit and all that. And I was working with a ministry from California here that coming to help with the famine in 1998. And my wife was working with a Calvary Chapel church down in San Diego. And God put in her heart to come there. And things happened, and we got married. And I wanted to warn Brittany, because I heard her saying that maybe she'll get a wife. That's not, it can be true. From there, we really felt that God was calling us to stay and live with the people. Both of us. We got married in 2000, and later in the year we moved in. And we started having two mainly projects, a medical clinic. Me and my wife, we're not medical, but you kind of get trained in the job, and a Bible school for pastors. And as you heard her in the video, The only reason why we do the medical clinic so that we can get the opportunity to share God's love, indeed, that's our deed part of the work. And the truth is not only through our training, the pastors, but even as we bring treatment to these people, we get the opportunity to share the gospel message that will bring true transformation to their heart. One of the biggest things that we really keep coming back to the entire country is the violence. As you've seen in the video, cattle and cows, they're everything. That's the money, that's the currency of the people. So we have a lot of cattle raiding, a lot of gunshot wounds. Yeah, violence is about everything. Even right now, the war that started, it was just a fight between the bodyguards of the vice president and the president that took the entire country to war again. I want to share with you just really quick a few stories that shows our ministry. One is a small boy called Montoj. He was with his family in a cattle camp, and early in the morning, these group of guys come around like 3 or 4 in the morning and start shooting at the center, and they wanted to rob the cows. And obviously he was asleep, he wake up, start to running, and a bullet hit his face. They bring him later on to us. Our clinic is very small. We couldn't do anything apart from just cleaning it and wrap it with bandage. We prayed, make some few calls. Little we know that God had a plane just 30 minutes away, Amir, that they diverted the plane, and he got evacuated to go to Nairobi and receive a proper medical care there. And because his family started visiting with us and they wanted to know his news, we shared the gospel, and the entire family accepted the Lord and came to know the Lord. It's amazing how God uses these, thank you, bad stories to bring something good. Today, this boy, he comes to the church that we have. He's part of the Sunday school, and I'm sure even he has this scar from the bullet, he will always remember God's love from the people that took care of him and the opportunity that he got. Other things that we do something called CHE, Community Health Evangelism. Now talk about transformation, talk about not just sharing God's word. When Jesus was on the earth, he was preaching the word, preaching the gospel, but he was healing and he was encouraging and make people to wonder and think about what they do and how they live. CHE is about transformation in village. It's about we train people, they go to a village and they come with a list, about 20-something, that this village need to become a healthier, a better place. And not just that, but they start seeing what kind of resources that they have that they can use in their own to solve this problem. And it's amazing how God uses that. All of a sudden, these resources start popping up. We were blind to it. And you see local people start addressing their own issues with the resources that God has given to them. God is so faithful. He has given us everything that we need. Either we're blind to it or we are lazy and we don't want to take the hard work. And that's, I believe, that's about Africa. Jesus is the answer because he goes into the heart and transform and make you see that truth and accept it and go with it. We have one of the pastors that we train, Pastor Ruben. He came to this training. We do it for a year, this CHE training. And last year, he farmed his own tomato farming, and he sold not just to us, even to the market. He created a job for himself, and now not just depending on organization for handout, but actually his church, he's a pastor of the church, make the church very strong and help the people that next to him. One more thing that we do that I found that very practical and it has changed our churches is simply the story. You know, Africa and illiteracy is huge. People don't read and write. So to teach the Bible verse by verse and chapter by chapter would be very difficult. My first time I was there, I tried to do that and I hit a wall because nobody would follow me. Nobody has a Bible to go through. And then God brought this tool. It's a simple story, just Bible story. Use inductive Bible method to explain those story, and then the church is involved because they answer. It's very interactive and answering the question, and all of a sudden they start seeing God's truth and start working in their heart and changing them. I have Pastor Santino who's right now doing that in one of the villages that we never thought that we can reach. And everywhere, especially where we are, a lot of people that never heard of Jesus. Sometimes it's even for me as an African man, hard to believe and hard to understand, but it is true. So many people out there, they didn't hear the gospel and didn't hear Jesus. So this SDS, or simple as the story, is really helping us. There's nothing impossible. Even people that doesn't know how to read and write, not just they hear about the gospel, but even know stories and see God's truth from these stories. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. Bless you. Thanks for what you're doing. All right. Ryan, are you in here? Ryan Gleason, where are you? Stand up. Is Jasmine in here? I don't know if Jasmine Stolting is in here, too. Anybody else that has been too hungry or some? There's Jasmine. Why did you stand up so slowly? You should have been up quicker. How many of you remember Emberly Keenan? These have been in the last semester at Calvary Chapel Bible College Europe in Hungary. And right now I'm going to ask the director of that Bible college, Caleb Beller. Beller? Did I get it right? I got it right. And his wife, Kim, would you stand up too so people can meet you? And he's going to tell you what's happening over there and share with you. But these guys, thank you guys for finding a good place and a good leader to go to. God bless you, man. It's good to have you here.
It's so cool that you guys call your kids refugees, you know, like we get refugees there with us there in Hungary. So let alone, you know, we got Pastor Jason who he and I like switched spots about 5 years ago. He was coming back stateside and we were crossing over that way. So we've had kind of this blessed connection with you guys, some of the students with us, and we're just really excited to see what God's doing in Hungary. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with the Bible colleges that we have here in Calvary Chapel. I think most of us, depending on how far back you go, it's like Twin Peaks, and then you're like Marietta, the campus in Austria, and that's kind of the heritage of the work that God has done in Hungary. About 11 years ago, back in 2001, the program moved from the castle in Austria to Hungary, and God has done a radical work of not just raising up nationals and Hungarians, but a few years ago, the work really just exploded, and now we're seeing Hungary as kind of the Antioch, if you will. It's kind of the main missions campus for what you're seeing in Bible colleges and churches all over Europe, the Middle East, Africa. I want to share with you guys, it's a two-minute video, Pastor Phil Metzger. How many of you guys know who Phil Metzger is? He's a senior pastor at Calvary Chapel Budapest, and he's been a kind of a radical visionary as things have been going out in Hungary. He's also the director there with me at the Bible College, but I want to give you guys just a glimpse of what God's doing there in Hungary. It's hard to really encapsulate in words what God has done there in Hungary. About 5 years ago, my wife and I moved over there with our three munchkins at the time. We have four now. We 9, 7, 5, and 2. We have our hands full. But we absolutely fell in love with what God was doing there in Hungary. I mean, the works in the Bible colleges were all praying about, Lord, what are you going to do with the next generation? And as we got to witness and see what God was doing through the staff there, we noticed that not only was there a passion for raising up nationals, there's such a rich work that's happening in the country of Hungary itself. It's about 20 years old, the movement at Calvary Chapel. But all of these kids that are coming, Well, about 4 years ago, the country of Hungary accredited the Bible College, so it actually became an accredited university, a school where kids could do a bachelor's in theology. And as much as that started to impact some of the U.S. students, what happened is kids that couldn't get in from places like India and Pakistan and China started coming over because they could get student visas. And so now, beyond the American students we have these kids coming. I got a Syrian refugee. I got a girl from Egypt. I got students from Israel. We've got a handful of students from Pakistan and India. And these people are coming, and they're getting a heart for the preaching and teaching of God's word, but they're getting a vision for missions. And these guys are now going back to go plant churches in India and Pakistan, and they're going out to do Muslim ministry with some of our other teams that are out in Ukraine. I don't know how much you guys are familiar with the different Bible colleges, but the campus in Hungary has now really become the missions campus. Beyond the Bible college, we run the School of Missions, which is kind of our year program for equipping the saints for the work of church planting. They come out and actually do 12 months concurrent serving with our other missionary families. They go out and serve on outreaches. They got to go spend 40 days and go live and work with some of these other missionaries. But our goal, the whole prayer of the campus there in Hungary with these 80, 90 students is that not only would they come and get a radical encounter with Christ, like the kids that you guys have sent, but that they would get a vision for the world. And we're watching them not just look at, places that we would think of going, but now we see these kids that are coming from these places like the Middle East. And I was in Jordan this last summer. I'm hopping on a plane. I'll be in Kyrgyzstan next week. These are places where people are saying you're never going to plant a church there. And if you rewind 20 years ago when the curtain was falling, that's what they were saying about Eastern Europe. They're saying it's not possible. But now there's 28 Calvary chapels in Hungary. 25 are pastored by national pastors. And you're getting these kids that are thinking, what could God do? And I tell you, it's such a privilege to be able to do what I do. And you guys are sending kids. I was there at Costa Mesa with the chapel this Monday, and we were talking about John chapter 12, the story with Mary and Martha and the alabaster box. And as I was encouraging the kids, I was just giving them that reminder as a that Jesus had raised up Lazarus, and they're there in this meal, and it's a week before Jesus is getting ready to go out, and who knows what was stirring in her heart, but she's hustling through the house, and she comes out with that alabaster box, and you know the story. It was that rich, expensive perfume, and Mark tells us she broke it all. She poured it at his feet, and I was challenging the kids, what's God given you? What's that alabaster box? What do you have of great value? And I always get that question as a missionary. Why'd you and your wife go out there? You guys are always sending and equipping missionaries. Why? And I tell them, missions isn't a choice. It's a response. It's because of what God has done for me. I just feel so ill-equipped to give of whatever I have of great value. But here's the thing that I want to encourage you in. There was that moment where Judas said something that sounded very spiritual. He's like, well, why didn't we just sell that and feed the poor? And I think all these kids that are contemplating Bible college, that are considering giving of this great treasure that they have, there's always those people that say, couldn't you do this or couldn't you do that? But notice what Jesus said. He said, it's not a waste. This is going to be told for generations. The poor you'll have with me always. And I just want to encourage you guys, as you're thinking about missions and sending these kids, and it's just like, oh, degrees and college. And it's never a waste to pour things out at Jesus' feet. It's never a waste to give your treasure to Jesus. And as we raise up these kids and encourage them and watch them step out in missions and cast this heart and partner with you guys, I encourage you, whatever it is that you've got in that treasure box that God's calling you, when you break it at his feet and it fills the room, Jesus is the one smiling. Thanks for letting us share. Thanks for sharing your kids with us. We're so excited to see what God's going to do in this next semester.
All right, let's have the missionaries line up straight down this aisle right here with your families if they're with you. And Julia, if you'd come right at the bottom of the steps, you're hometown refugees, so I want to pray for you. So missionaries, come on and line up right there, and then everybody quickly swarm around them now, okay? I know we've gone a little bit over. I know that never, ever happens here any other day but tonight. There was a statement last week that Matt Watson made. I asked him to send it to me, and he did. He said, "Some may be more talented than me. Some may be smarter than me, but God help me if he finds anyone more willing." And I look at our church, and there may be churches that are bigger than us and churches that are richer than we are, but God help us if he finds a church more willing and more responsive. May we be responsive to his call. Amen? All right, let's pray. Where's Julia? I want to pray for her too. Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters that are here tonight with us, and most of them from other churches. And Lord, there's one church. There's one family of God, all who follow you, all who step forth to serve you and to love you. And God, I pray for each one of these tonight that you would pour out your spirit upon them and take them where you want them, Father. I pray that you would arrange encounters for them, the people, the man, the woman, the child that's in the middle of their road, that stands there in need. Father, I pray that just pour out your grace and your truth upon them. Father, I pray that you would protect them as they go. Lord, I pray for Brittany as she puts together her team and is the vision for Ireland, develops there in the Republic of Ireland, Father God. And I just pray, God, that you would let that vision come together so beautifully. And for Julia, as she heads back to Cameroon to minister to these children. And Father, for every other family that's here and every ministry and every clinic and every church that's represented, oh God, would you pour out your spirit and let us stay engaged in the work that you've called us to. As long as we have breath, may those breaths belong to you, Lord. May we use every resource in every day of our lives for you as we surrender entirely to you in the strong name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.